The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
It is an ugly, rainy Tuesday, and it's going to be an ugly, rainy Wednesday, but then it'll be a nice Thursday and Friday in the weekend, and we'll look forward to that. And look, it's November 12th. I know we had a lot going on, but Thanksgiving will be here before you know it. And as I said, if you're a turkey, I would start putting my affairs in order. Ramon Antonio Vargas joins us now, editor and reporter at The Guardian. As he always does, talk about the latest in the archdiocese and the sexual abuse case. Also, this news that the archbishop sent in his letter of resignation, as he was required to do by canon law. Let's take it one step at a time. First of all, good morning, Ramon. How are you?
Good morning. I am well. How are you?
I'm okay, sir. I'm dry, at least for now. Let's talk about, before we get to the archbishop and his letter and so forth, what did they agree to release in terms of files and so forth, and how does that fit into the context of this whole legal suit and maneuvering and so forth?
Yeah, so obviously they're still miles and miles apart on the monetary terms for, you know, how much victims of the clergy abuse scandal are going to be paid with respect to the bankruptcy case that the church filed, the local church filed here in 2020. But they have come to terms on kind of some non-monetary terms, which we have seen in other church bankruptcies, several dozen across the country. There is a model for what they agreed to in New Mexico, where the Archdiocese of Santa Fe, if I'm not mistaken, agreed to release these kind of clergy personnel files that would outline, assuming that they're all complete, that would outline what the how the church handled the careers of abusive priests and deacons. And they released it to a university out there. I believe it's the University of New Mexico, if I'm not mistaken. And then there's been a similar agreement here. And keep in mind, there's many other terms to which they've agreed, but that struck everyone probably as the most notable one. A lot of the other terms, non-monetary terms, are, in my reading, things that the church has already kind of promised to be doing in the wake of the kind of that charter in 2002, when in an earlier kind of like boiling point of the worldwide clergy abuse scandal was hit in the wake of revelations of systemic abuse and cover up in Boston. And really just kind of reiterates, you know, we're going to continue to do this. We're going to continue to improve on doing it. And there's just kind of promises that to this point, they haven't entirely kept, according to the reporting that I have done, in collaboration with, my friend and partner at WWL-TV, David Hammer.
So let me ask you this before we get any further into this. If the Archdiocese of New Orleans had wanted to, there was already a model in existence in New Mexico where they could have just gone along with that. Accurate?
It was, you know, it's only a couple of years old, right? And then also keep in mind that when that archive was kind of created and agreed to as part of a bankruptcy settlement there, right, and the bankruptcy primarily filed to dispense of clergy abuse litigation. Yes, I mean, I guess like that commitment was sort of made in the same context. It's also not something that, you know, that one I think is probably more less kind of charter territory than some of the other measurements, which are, again, like just kind of copy pasting a lot of stuff that's already in the, you know, reporting crimes when you come across them, not letting you know, a policy recommitting to a policy, which, you know, is in place to not be alone with children, et cetera. Right. I think that some of the other, promises that kind of like pad out the length of that agreement, should have been followed. And in fact, have been exposed to have not been followed in many cases. I think that, you know, the reason that one stands out is that you've really only seen it in New Mexico. And the idea is that it is a publicly accessible thing that survivors and journalists and just, you know, maybe congregants who are deciding how they want to, you know, to whom they've donated, et cetera. They can, you know, you can go in and kind of see how any particular, you know, clergy abuser was, how their career was managed by the church. So, that is less charter territory than I think some of the other things in that agreement.
I'm sorry. So I'm reading a story here. It says the archdiocese would have 30 days from any agreement to select a university to archive the previously secret clergy personnel files. A website would then offer access to the archive, and any clergymen who were omitted from the credibly accused list but had at least 3 abuse claims naming them in the bankruptcy would have their personnel file archived. I guess what I'm wondering, and that would, that, what you wrote there, that mirrors what they did in New Mexico or not? Or?
Yes, there is an archive that is similar to that, if not identical to that, already in place in New Mexico. We reported on it. We spoke to the Archbishop, the Guardian in a series last year, spoke to the Archbishop there, Jason, our contributor Jason Berry did, spoke to the Archbishop who kind of created that archive, and obviously won some accolades for, you know, the transparency. You know, he said that, you know, the church didn't collapse in on itself when we released kind of some of the more, you know, shameful episodes of our past for people to kind of comb over. Of course, if you'll remember this list in 2018 that named some of these clergy abusers here, right? What happened with that was immediately there became a fight over how complete it was, who was left out, et cetera. Mm-hmm. To be clear, in New Mexico, they have run into that, right? Where it's like there have been arguments over how complete the files have been, how they withheld some, et cetera. So, you know, just if past this prologue, that's something to kind of monitor moving forward. Obviously, we've discussed an episode, you know, we've discussed here on this program repeatedly, an episode in which an attorney was fined $400,000, Richard Trahant, for after there was some reporting in the media about a chaplain at Brother Martin High School who had admitted to sexually inappropriate behavior with a teenage girl.
This is Paul Hart we're talking about, to be clear, right?
Paul Hart.
Yeah, and yes, I knew the guy, that's why I'm saying that. He's deceased,
yes,
correct?
Yes, the late Paul Hart. And so ostensibly, right, so that was so remember, that reporting, even though neither Richard Trahan nor his clients had anything to do with, like, the media, you know, provided the information to the media that reported it, they were removed, right? They were removed from So Trahan was fined $400,000. Some of his and his colleagues' clients were removed from participation in a committee that represents the interests of clergy abuse claimants in the bankruptcy, right? Ostensibly, all that stuff is going to eventually be made public. And I think, obviously, probably a sore point among them that, like, okay, so now you're going to release something that was kind of used as a cudgel to remove clergy abuse claimants from participating in a committee advocating for their interests and to find their attorney, you know, but for now, I mean, despite probably some of that soreness, that is something that both sides have agreed to do. They're going to accept that as a non-monetary kind of relief measure. The clergy abuse survivor side and then that is a concession that the church has agreed to make.
Why get a university involved with an archive? What am I missing here, Ramon?
I think the idea is that it's just also like curated and handled probably by an outside thing. I believe, you know, in New Mexico, if I'm not mistaken, I'll be curious to see. I mean, it's a public university. I believe that is curating kind of that archive. It is not a parochial university institution, Catholic institution. So there's probably some like level of like, okay, like this is something that we're kind of like turning over to be, like our documents to be like turned over to outside of our control, outside of our purview, right? Obviously they're providing the documents, they call whichever documents go in. In theory, at that point, that archive isn't going to be residing at like the administrative offices on Walmsley, right? So again, it's a matter of like making it more accessible and making it more, to the extent that anybody, I mean, again, it remains to be seen which university is going to ultimately get it, right? If it's a Catholic university, you know, I guess that'd be something to note. If it's a public university, right, maybe, you know, to the extent that is a public university maybe a more welcoming environment to someone who was a clergy abuse victim, or, you know, has a clergy abuse victim loved one, a survivor loved one. That seems to be my read of that, right? I will confirm as we speak, I believe the archive in New Mexico that kind of plowed the ground on this was at a public university as opposed to like a Catholic university.
I guess what I'm wondering, if the idea behind this is transparency, accurate, why would you even bring somebody else? Why would you bring another party into it? Why not release it directly to, for example, the media?
Presumably it will be, right? I mean, presumably, like, that's something that, like, the media can access. It's something that everyone can access, right?
But the raw data.
And just to confirm, it was established at the University of New Mexico, which is, like, their state university, right? I'm sorry, you had just asked me?
Well, I was just saying, the raw data, why not just release that to the media if the idea is transparency? Why even, and I'm not trying to be a conspiracy theorist here, but why even put some another party?
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
In the chain.
I don't really have an answer directly to that. I do, presumably that is going to be a publicly, I mean, the idea is that it's publicly accessible, you know, wherever those things physically reside, you know, everyone will be able to access that.
Will the plaintiff's attorneys have access to monitor these records to see what goes into the archive, what doesn't? Is somebody going to have access to this?
Well, I mean, yeah, I there is a set of people that know kind of what's been turned up, right? And mm-hmm. there's a lot of these documents are in the possession of law enforcement, right? So one of the things that... Not to tip our hands, such as it were, right? I mean, obviously, one of the first things you're going to be like looking at is, I mean, I personally have been able to, you know, obtain some of these clergy personnel files that were, you know, kind of shielded from public view once the bankruptcy was filed. One of the first things I'll be doing is comparing set A, which are the ones that are, you know, in already out there versus like set B, which is whenever, and to see like, is it a one-to-one comparison? Were some things left off? Like, obviously, and again, in New Mexico, right, there have been allegations of that, you know, there are things that should be in there aren't in there. And so I, and it very echoes very much so the argument about like, well, this person should have been on the list and they weren't on the list. Back in 2018, and I do expect to be having some of those conversations once this is made public.
Tell me about the state police investigation that's ongoing, and I know that sometimes state police won't comment on an ongoing investigation.
Sure.
If any of this information that's being released will not be released because it is part of that ongoing state police investigation.
No, I mean that's a fair question, and that's like a good point. Obviously, you know, we don't really have a lot of clarity as to whether, you know, okay, well, we don't have a lot of clarity as to, you know, we've certainly seen things withheld because, you know, they're part of a law enforcement investigation, et cetera. So again, like that could be something that factors into discussion about, well, you know, there's not that many files, you know, that are in there. I mean, there's obviously some people who are beyond prosecution, right? Because they're dead, because of whatever. Other people are not beyond prosecution. And presumably those are, you know, I can say that state police investigation is ongoing. You know, obviously no one's been charged at the, you know, certainly we're all waiting for a trial of, you know, admitted serial abuser and retired priest Lawrence Hecker on December the 3rd, where that's tentatively scheduled. Then remains to be seen whether it moves forward. Obviously, he's been charged. You know, you've got a priest and I guess a suspended priest and removed priest in Pat Watney who pleaded guilty in 2023.
Yep.
Excuse me?
I know him too. Go ahead.
Yes. And so we know, so those, they have been charged as kind of law enforcement's been swirling kind of on the perimeter of the stuff. But obviously nobody above them has been charged in connection with any of the allegations of covering up and things like that, that are on the record, in sworn police, documents. But for now, that's kind of where the situation stands. I do have reason to think that it is not on the back burner, but these things move slowly.
Real quick before I let you go, Archbishop Amond turned 75 today, I think it is, and he sent a letter to the Pope, as was required by canon law, as I understand it, saying that he was retiring because that was a mandatory age, offered to stay on through the bankruptcy. I don't know, would him staying help things? Would him leaving help things? What do the plaintiff's attorneys say, and what do the defense attorneys say? Do you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's, you know, I think that you're going to get opinions across the spectrum on that. The thing that struck me the most was I think that probably at the beginning of 2023, end of 2022, obviously this is a date that people have had circled on their calendars for a while, right? And I think that it was, you know, there was a thought that it was inevitable that they were going to let him stay on. We've seen archbishops stay on well past their mandated retirement age. We saw the Archbishop of Boston just recently step down at 80, right? That's five years beyond the retirement age. I think that what struck me the most in his letter when he kind of told his, and I'm talking about Archbishop Amond here, told his priests and deacons, like, hey, I'm filing kind of my retirement papers as mandated by church law. It's up to the Pope from here. I've asked to stay on. It's up to the Pope from here. That's all technically correct. I think at one point it would not have surprised me to kind of be like, look, I have assurances that I fully expect to stay on beyond this date. And, proceed because I'm going to be around. It was interesting to kind of see the admission of like what happens next really isn't up to me, right? There's no indication that he's not going to be allowed to stay on through the end of the bankruptcy, right? There's a lot of, I mean, it's a difficult situation for someone who hasn't been inside, who hasn't been there to promote someone in that kind of environment or to bring someone, even harder to see bringing someone from the outside to come in. with such an expensive, contentious bankruptcy, as we've documented here on this program, it's a difficult situation for like a replacement to inherit. But then again, to kind of, that concession struck me as like, but really it's up to the Pope from here, and it's been a privilege, kind of no matter what happens, was kind of the tone of the letter. That's what struck me, because I don't think that if he had turned 75 in 2022, it would have had the same tone.
It seems to me, from a management standpoint, it would make sense to have him here until this mess is cleaned up, and you don't want to bring in a new person under these circumstances. Thank you, Ramon. I appreciate your time and your work as always. We'll talk to you again soon. Ramon Antonio Vargas, editor and reporter at The Guardian. We come back, we'll talk to Dr. Judy Ho, clinical and forensic neuropsychologist, host of the Supercharged Life podcast, about dealing with the election. 75 million people voted for President Trump, plus round numbers, 71 million voted for the opposition. We all live in the country and we all need to get along moving forward. 928, back in a flash, WWL.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.